Our final reading from Ecclesiastes comes from chapter 11, verses 7 through 10, on youth and old age. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. Even those who live many years should rejoice in them all, yet let them remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, young man, while you are young, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Follow the inclination of your heart and the desires of your eyes, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Banish anxiety from your mind, and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Let me tell you a little bit about our students. They have been labeled Generation Y. We have the Builders, our World War II generation, the Boomers, our Vietnam era generation, Busters, or Generation X, and Generation Y, or Millennials is another word that's used for them. For these kids, interactivity is a norm. It's not a perk. It's a norm, which is why in this service you will have a chance, more than one, you will have opportunities to speak back. And if you are not the kind that's comfortable grabbing a microphone and saying a word, you may grab your cell phone, since most of you have them, and text this number, 414-467-3874. It's right here in your bulletin. And where is he? Merrick? Oh, Merrick's right behind me. Merrick will pick maybe the 3 or 5 best comments or questions, and we will have a chance to respond to those at the end of the sermon. So don't just stand up and talk whenever. Wait until the appropriate time. Today's students, Generation Y, do not remember a world before the internet. As long as they have been alive, they have had computers in their home and they have been connected to the internet. They have had personal computers and video games. They've played video games on consoles. They've held them in their hands. Today's students, Generation Y, have never had less than 40 channels on their television. Most of them have 3 times that. Their nation has always been the world's only superpower. They've never known it any other way. Gas stations have never been full service, but have always had cappuccino. Today's students, Generation Y, have always had text messaging and mobile phones. They have never in their lives been disconnected from their friends. That old picture of the teenage girl asleep with the phone on her ear, that is peanuts compared to these guys. They make decisions collaboratively, and many of them don't go on one-on-one dates because they prefer to date as a group. They make their decisions as a group. Email and instant messenger are old technologies to them. They take technology, communication, and interactivity for granted, which means they're not overly impressed with presentation, but they do notice when it's absent. They spend an average of 11 hours online per week. They are used to being the center of the family. They are heavily scheduled. Well over half live in a non-traditional home. Depending on the study, that could be as high as 70% live in some form of not believe it to be your home. 1 in 3 is not Caucasian, and 90% of children under 12 have friends outside their own ethnicity, making this the most ethnically diverse generation in the history of the United States. They describe themselves as spiritual but not religious, because they don't see the church as relevant to their lives. Speaking in general, not about these kids. So how do we communicate with Generation Y? Well, I have three ideas for you. We need to be raw. We need to be relevant. We need to be relational. This generation can sniff a phony from long distance. They are not impacted by slick presentation. They get more respect for being authentic on YouTube and putting themselves out there, warts and all, than they would get with a perfectly polished presentation. They get more respect from their peers for being real than for being pretty. Relevant. There's no point in giving music to a friend if you hand them a cassette because they have CDs. Well, actually, it's no point in handing them music on a CD because they have iPods. You have to be in touch with their reality and speak to them in language they can understand. And lastly, relational. They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Which means there is no such thing as a quick fix. There is no such thing as hand them a tract and they will magically be transformed into Christians. Working with Generation Y takes time. You have to build relationships so that when you finally do speak, they trust you enough to listen because they make decisions as a group. In short, we need to speak to people the way Jesus spoke. So here's your first opportunity to talk back, and this one is directed at the kids. Kids, what's it like for you? What should older generations know about your life? Where's Ellen? There she is. Ellen's in the back. Ellen, stand up. She's wearing a crown. She's very hard to miss. Ellen has the microphone. If you are under the age of 20, you may raise your hand and have a shot at the microphone. Ellen, come on up. And kids, the topic is, what's the world like for you, or what should the older generations know about your life? Go ahead and raise your hand if you'd like to say something. Ari, behind you.
Hello. One thing maybe you should know is that you think you're busy, and you are, because you're adults, but we go to school, and 5 out of our 7 teachers expect us to write a paper by tomorrow, and they're all 4 to 7 pages, and we're freaking out and getting zits on our faces because we don't know what to do, and we're only, 12 to 17 or 12 to 18 years old, and we are going to even get more and more busier, so we're always freaking out, and that's why.
Anybody else? Under 20. I realize that excludes quite a few of us, including me. I'll own that. How about some of the kids in the back row? Go ahead. What's it like being a kid today? Or what should the older generations know about you?
Well, being a kid today is sometimes hard because you never really know what you're going to do next.
Alex?
Avery has something to say.
Why would I have something to say?
Going once, going twice. Oh, Daniel, you just stand up and use the big mic.
Coming from personal experience, I think that being a kid today is a lot about fitting in. I think if you see someone that is different than you, a lot of times kids won't want to have contact with them or won't want to get to know them per se. But I think a lot about, and I think that stresses out a lot of kids about trying to fit in with the different groups or trying to fit in with the group that you're already in. And I think that a lot of times that stresses a lot of kids out way more than they should, but that's a really big part of being a kid today, I think.
Okay. Ellen, I think we have a hand up in the balcony. Run, run. Yeah. We stressed him out coming to church, huh? Hand it off to Russell. There you go.
My opinion about being a kid is usually during the school year, you're just walking down one road, no turns, nothing else. But in the summer, when you can get a lot of free choices, you make lots of turns in your life's road. That's my opinion.
That was deep, Russell. Do you have something, Max? Okay. Our scriptures from this morning all come from Ecclesiastes. It's a book of wisdom attributed to King Solomon. According to the tradition, Solomon was the wisest king of his time. People came from far and wide to hear him. The book of Ecclesiastes records his search for the meaning of life. He tries it all: scholarship, wealth, power, popularity, and in the end he declares it all meaningless, like a chasing after the wind. Instead, Solomon says, the best life is to accept life for what it is, serve God with gladness, and share the journey with a few good friends. Accept life for what it is, and what is that? Well, according to Solomon, it's meaningless. You could be the smartest, richest, strongest, most famous person in the world, and you know what? You're still going to die. You could dedicate your life to religious perfection, be Mother Teresa, Gandhi, and the Dalai Lama all rolled into one, and you know what? Rotten stuff is still going to happen to you, and thieving scumbags are going to succeed ahead of you. Nothing makes sense the way it's supposed to, and nothing fixes the problem. It's meaningless. But here's the trick. Once you accept it's meaningless, you can start to apply some of that practical wisdom that Solomon was so well known for. You can make your plans and roll with the punches. You can love and serve God in every circumstance. You can share the road with a few good friends. Isn't that what we're trying to do here in this place? Isn't that what this congregation is about? Right now, we're living out the wisdom that Solomon left for us. But we can go even further than that, because for Solomon, death was the end, but we have the hope of Christ, that there is something more powerful than death, that love will someday conquer hate, that we do not suffer alone. Solomon enjoyed life in moderation and accepted death as a given. We can dance through life and accept death as a sister. That is the wisdom the Gospels pass down to us. So my question for you is, what wisdom do you have to share? Adults, it's your turn. Is life today really so different from what you remember as a teenager? What advice would you give to our young people? And do you have any questions for them? Ellen, come on up. If you'd like to speak, raise your hand. This time, anyone under 20 is not allowed. Sally first, then Butch. Sally raised her hand first. Don't fight, children.
No. Good morning. I guess one thing to say is that I know a lot of kids say, well, things were different back when you were young, before they had electricity. And the fire. That's our family's fire. But I think one thing for kids to remember also is, actually, things were different, but things were still the same. And we've all gone through kind of the same heartache, the same, a little bit of stress, but also it is nothing like the activities that they're taken to today. But we do have a little bit of an understanding And at the same time, you have to let parents just realize that they're doing the best they can.
Hmm. 45 years ago, at your age, I was quite confused and concerned because I didn't know what to do, where to go, what decisions to make. And let me assure you, 45 years later, you're going to be in the same boat. It's not going to change.
In the back, and then the hall. Let's do the back corner first, the Hawthorns for a second.
For the youngsters, how would you like to live in a time when gasoline is 12 cents a gallon, a 16-ounce bottle of Pepsi was a nickel, you could buy a pint of ice cream for 20 cents? You think you got it rough, but a banker made sometimes $6,000 a year. If you made $60 a week, you had it made. So see what you've got to look forward to?
Perspective, the three F's. I think of them every day. Faith, family, friends.
Thank you.
Yesterday was June 6th. How many of you remember, not remember, but how many of you have studied or learned about what happened 65 years ago yesterday?
Since that was a question, I'll just, from here, I can see that the lion's share of our students did know the answer to that question.
Sure, it was the bombing of Hiroshima, right?
No.
D-Day. Is it the bombing of Hiroshima? Or no. D-Day?
Yeah.
I was close. All right.
I guess one more thing to add. I think we all have a lot to be proud of in our youth.
I guess I have kind of a unique perspective on teenagers. I'm a high school teacher, have been for the past 7 years. I'm hearing a lot of things this morning that I really like to hear, and I just wanted to offer one little caution, I guess. This past week, I had to go to a wake for a former student of mine, 23 years old, and I'm sure when I went there, they had two pictures up, one of his high school graduation and one from when he was born. And I'm sure, just like a lot of you here today, he wasn't thinking at all that he was only going to get 23 years. So kind of based on the young guy in the balcony who talked about the different paths you can take and the different turns in the road, I think he was speaking to that in a real positive way, but just remember that sometimes those turns, you might not be thinking about which direction you're going. We don't always think that bad things are going to happen, but they most definitely can. So just think about that. Be smart. Be safe. Think about those choices.
Last call. Do we have any text messages? The guys will start working on it. I invite you all to take a look at your call to worship and unison prayer that are printed in the bulletin. The kids picked these out because this was their chance. This is their one chance this year to hear something, to see something printed in the bulletin, to hear something as part of the standard form of worship that spoke directly to them. Something that spoke about their experience. When I sent it around for proofing, it raised a few eyebrows. What about all the people in the service who aren't kids? What about all of us who are over 20 who don't carry book bags? And that's a valid concern. But take a look. Read through it again. We are no longer children. We are not yet adults. We are becoming. God has a plan. This isn't just about kids. This is about all of us. We have been claimed by Christ and our lives are being changed. We are no longer what we were and we are not yet what we shall be. God is not done with us yet. Any of us. We are shaped and molded like clay on the potter's wheel. We've been slammed, smashed, rolled, cut. We will eventually go through fire. We are becoming, and God will be with us. This isn't just about kids. For many of you, this is your life right now. Slammed. Being tested by fire. You got sick. You lost a job. Unexpected divorce. This is life. And God is present in the middle of it, pulling us through. All of us. Sometimes it just hurts. Whatever doesn't kill us makes us stronger. Whatever holds us down will be broken when we stand up and dance. This isn't just about kids. This is the hope we all hold in our hearts, that someday God will put things right. Someday the world will be what we know in our hearts it was meant to be. Someday the chains will break and we will dance. And even now we can hear the beat of a new tomorrow. Even now, the shackles begin to slip. Same thing goes for the unison prayer. I don't care how old you are. Today, you are young and alive. Today, we rest from our work. We set aside the stress. We celebrate new life. We are not yet dead, and we will celebrate having air in our lungs. If that doesn't describe you, if you can't claim that, then this service, well, you need it. Because God is not done with you yet. I don't care how old you are. If you're not dead, you're not done. If you're not dead, you're not done. You may not feel young anymore, but in God's eyes, you are still a beloved child. And there is still time to play before He calls you home. That's true if you're 19. That's true if you're 98. God loves you.